I'd like to take a moment to let you all know about a new nonprofit organization started by my brother Craig. It's called Treats and Truth. They fill oversized brown lunch bags with snack items, chips, crackers, popcorn, cookies, etc. Also, a bottle of water, toothbrush, toothpaste, sanitary wipes, and most importantly, a small gospel tract book of John. No cigar? I'll have to talk to him about that. The bags are then hand-delivered to the homeless and people in need in and around the Los Angeles area. Let's help get this ministry off the ground. They're a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, so any and all donations are tax-deductible and greatly appreciated. Visit their website at treatsandtruth.org. Check out the show notes for the link. Also, please follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you. Welcome to episode 115 of the Burning Bush Podcast, where we share the message of the Bible while enjoying a good cigar. Hope you're doing well, and I'm glad you've joined me. And today we're reading the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 16, with commentary from the notes in the Charles Spurgeon Study Bible. And I'm smoking the Punch Diablo Scamp 6 1/8 by 50. Let's go on over to the Punch Cigars website and see what they have to say. The fullest and darkest punch to date, Diablo is made exclusively by A.J. Fernandez at his factory in Esteli, Nicaragua. With a carefully fermented Ecuadorian Sumatra Oscuro wrapper, Connecticut binder, and Nicaraguan and Honduran Habano Ligero, aged for 4 to 6 years, Punch Diablo is spicy, rich, and full of flavor. In short, it's the dark side of punch. And it received a top 25 from Cigar Aficionado, as well as a 93 rating. And the wrapper, again, Ecuadorian Sumatra Oscuro, binder Connecticut Broadleaf, and fillers are Nicaraguan and Honduran Habano Ligero. And the vitolas are the Scamp, 6 1/8 by 50, Diabolus, 5 1/4 by 54, and the Brute, 6 1/4 by 60. That's the Punch Diablo. So let's go ahead and get back into this week's reading in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV, and verse 1 reads, "And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, 'When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah.' So he left them and departed." When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Spurgeon comments on verses 13 and 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Here's the test question that must be put to everyone who desires to be admitted into the assembly of the Lord. Who do you say that Jesus is? The first question for anyone who wants to join a church is, what do you think of Jesus? You cannot be right in anything unless you think rightly of him. If you do not begin with the truth about Jesus, that he is the Messiah and the Son of the living God, you will not go on correctly. Further, your joining of any visible church will be a mistake that will be injurious both to yourself and to the church. It must be this: first Christ, then the church. There is a certain style of preaching in which the church is the leading idea. But our chief word is not the church. It is Christ. It is not even the church of Christ, but Christ as God himself, the Son of the Highest. First Christ, the root, then the church, the outgrowth. First Christ, the builder, then the church, his building. The most important question is not, to which part of the church do you belong? It is, rather, do you belong to Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God? This must be decided by that other question, who do you say that Jesus is? If you know Christ, if you rest in Christ, if Christ is to you the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. If Christ is your hope of glory, then your connection to the true church is clear and certain. And back to Matthew verse 17. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And Spurgeon comments on verse 23. Jesus turned and told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but human concerns." Notice the contrast between verses 18 and 23. In verse 18, Christ had said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And here he is saying, "Get behind me, Satan." I do not understand our Lord to have called Peter Satan, but to have looked right through Peter and to have seen Satan standing behind him, making use of the apostle to be his spokesman. The best of men may sometimes serve the devil's turn better than a bad man would. He may speak through those who love the Lord's words that are contrary to the mind of Christ. So Christ sees Satan lurking, as in an entrenchment, behind Peter, and he says, "Get behind me, you are an offense unto me." Back to Matthew verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And that's the end of today's reading in the book of Matthew. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to the Charles Spurgeon Study Bible, as well as today's cigar. Also, Groundworks Ministries for daily Bible studies and devotionals. Treats and Truth Ministry, where you can get involved in helping to spread the gospel to and be a blessing to the homeless. And the Burning Bush Merchandise Store, where you can pick up some items to help spread the word about the show. And if you know anyone who needs to hear this, please let them know about the podcast and help share the message of the Bible, the hope we have in Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at steve@theburningbushpodcast.com, which is linked in the show notes as well. So until next time, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.